The first and chief need of our Christian life is fellowship with God. From the beginning of creation in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse number 3, we can clearly see that God created the earth for man and truly desire to be in fellowship with man. Since man was created in the image of God and created for his glory, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, Isaiah 43, verse number 7, man was in perfect fellowship with God, sharing all things in common. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, by implication, Adam and Eve had fellowship with God as God was walking in the cool of the day. What we must note is that man was created in a state of sinlessness, holy before God. Before man sinned, he fellowshiped personally with God. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. What does it mean for God to walk with them? It means closeness, intimacy, communion, or open fellowship with one another. Why did God walk with them? Because God wanted to fellowship with them. And after the fall of man, when they sinned, God, because of their sin, had to separate himself from them. Sin came between God and man. It did then, and it does now. Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 2. Sin replaced open fellowship with fear and separation. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, Genesis 3, verse number 8. Fellowship with God has been broken because of sin. They were cast out of God's presence. But that isn't the end. God sought his people again over and over and over in the Old Testament history. In the New Testament, God still seeks to be with his people. I am mindful of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. So God does desire to be in fellowship with man. God sent his son Jesus to dwell among the people, John 3, verse number 16, John 1, in verse number 14. But we know what they did to Jesus. They killed him. They crucified him, at 2 in verse number 36. But this did not surprise God at all. In fact, it was part of his glorious plan. 1 Peter 1, verses 19 through 20. Instead of making a sacrifice by a high priest once a year in the Holy of Holies, Jesus became that sacrifice once and for all by dying on the cross that we may believe on him. Hebrews chapter 9, in verse number 12. So again, the first and chief need of our Christian life is fellowship with God. Man needs God. God has called us to eternal life by the gospel of his Son so we can come know him. John chapter 17, verse number 3. We are bound to give thanks to God always for our salvation. Why? Because the scripture says that God from the beginning shows us for salvation through the calling of the gospel of Christ, 2 Thessalonians 3, or 2, verses 13 through 14. It is the obeying of God's word through his son's sacrifice that brings us to pure fellowship with God. 1 Peter 3, in verse number 18. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ, 1 John 1. In verse number 3, it is truly an honor and a privilege that we can have fellowship with the Creator of life. It is truly an honor and a privilege that we can have fellowship with the light of the world. It is truly an honor and a privilege that we can have fellowship with our Heavenly Father and being called his own beloved children. 1 John 3, in verse number 1. Have we considered the awesome value of fellowship that we have with our Heavenly Father in heaven? Is fellowship with God important to us? Is fellowship with God an urgent priority for us? When we make fellowship with God a priority in our life, we will walk carefully in this life by walking in wisdom, by understanding and practicing the will of God, Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. And when we make fellowship with God a priority in our lives by understanding the will of God, we will not walk in darkness. We will not walk in darkness, but in the light, 1 John 1, verses 5 through 6. Do we understand that whatever we take part of or fellowship with in this life can possibly hurt our fellowship status with God? When we walk in darkness and do not practice the truth in our lives, we are not in fellowship with God. If we say we do while disobeying God's word, we are liars. 1 John 1, verse number 4. As God's children, we are required to walk in the light as he is in the light, if we want to have continual fellowship with God. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. Contrarywise, God wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will. God wants us to walk worthy of the Lord. God wants us to fully please him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. God desires for us to see that he is the light and have fellowship with the God of light. How can we do that? How can we discern what is light and what is darkness? How can we know whom we are to have fellowship with? The Bible is our guiding light. Psalms 119, verses 1 through 5, or 105. And the reason that it is our guiding light, because it comes from the God of light. As we turn our attention to the book of Ephesians, we learn that man is dead in trespasses and sin. And because of his sin, he is not in fellowship with God, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. But God, who is rich in mercy, desire to have fellowship with man with his great love, Ephesians 2, in verse number 4. And it's through Jesus Christ, his Son, which we have been brought near to God by what? By his blood, Ephesians 2, in verse number 13. And so as we move forward to chapter 4, God desires to have fellowship with us, but since he is light and in him there is no darkness, he requires man to take off the image of sin and to put on the image of Christ. Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 32. The sinful man and all the sins of the world are the works of darkness. The sins of man flourish in the darkness of the unrenewed heart. There is no true light in sin. The wages of sin is what? It's death, isn't it? Romans 6, verse 23. The man who pursues after the darkness of sin, he will go from blackness to a deeper blackness. If a man remains in blackness, his end will go from deeper blackness to blackness of darkness forever in burning hell without any possibility of having fellowship with the God of light. If there is no true light in sin, God is not there. God cannot fellowship with sin. His eyes are pure to behold evil. Habakkuk chapter 1 in verse 13. It is against his nature. And if we want to have fellowship with God, our nature is going to have to line up with God's nature. The Bible says that fellowship with God is possible, but it is through Jesus, Ephesians 2, verse number 18. Again, our nature, our life, our walk, our works must be in the light as Jesus Christ is in the light in order to have fellowship with God. Jesus Christ is in perfect fellowship with his Father. Why? Why? Because they have everything in common. John 17, verses 21 through 23. Are we in perfect fellowship with God? Is my life in common with God and His nature. Fellowship with God means I am in line with God's will. When you look at Jesus and what He did on earth, He done His will. He did His Father's will. And it's reflected in Jesus' model prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10. He said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in where? In heaven. The basis of fellowship with God is being in a joint journey together. True fellowship begins when one comes to know God personally as our Creator, sharing all things with God in common, and being in line with God's will on earth as it is in heaven. We must have all things in common with God. And as we come to Ephesians 5, verse number 1, which is our text for this evening, but I really want everybody to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at the very first verse. Ephesians 5 and verse number 1. I really think that this verse is very important as we consider the context surrounding Ephesians 5, verse number 11. But as we come to Ephesians 5, verse 1, we are called to imitate God as His dear or beloved children. Now, that phrase, be imitators, has the idea of you take God as your pattern, and you must be like Him. It refers to likeness or similarity. Oh, to be like thee. That's the song we sing, right? To be like His nature. It is patterned after the way a beloved child imitates his father. Now notice this. Be imitators of God as dear children. That word dear means beloved. A special people. Do you realize that the word beloved is the same Greek word when God called Jesus His beloved son? Jesus was in perfect fellowship not only because He was God's Son, but also He was God in the flesh manifesting the will of God in His life. Jesus shared all things common with His Father in heaven. Now, let's look at Ephesians 5. And if we are to take God as our pattern and be the light of the world, we are to be like Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21. And if you want to have fellowship with God, you look at Jesus. And you walk the way Jesus walked on earth. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 2, that we are to walk in love as Christ also has loved us, giving Himself for us. You see, Paul tells us how to walk in Christ, being imitators of God. He also tells us that light is against darkness, and we are to be putting on the new image of light. You see, Paul warns us to stand against darkness, against filthiness, against worldliness. Imitate God in the walk of love and purity. And so what Paul is really trying to tell us, he says, we are to walk in love and not in lust. Paul tells us that light is against darkness. And we as Christians, after conversion in Christ, saints are called out of darkness into the marvelous light, 1 Peter 2, in verse number 9. And once the saints are in fellowship with God after obeying the gospel, they are to look like the God of light, sharing His nature, and to have everything in common with God. You see, what I see from here in chapter 5, the Ephesians were to be light bearers. And they were to have no fellowship with darkness in their life. Now, why do I say that? Because God has nothing in common with darkness. And neither should we. They were forbidden to act in ways of darkness that displeases God. They, as Christians, are to reflect the glory of God in their conduct. Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 14, to the praise of His glory. Now, let's get to our text. Ephesians 5, verse number 11. The Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Point number one, the recognition of the source of light. Number one, the recognition of the source of light. To have fellowship with the light, we must first recognize the source of light. God is spirit. John 4, verses 23-24. God is love. 1 John chapter 4. And also, we also read in 1 John 1 verse 5, God is light. God is the source of light, both physical and spiritual. God is the source of all life and light. He's the creator of light. Let there be light, Genesis chapter 1, in verse number 3. Light and light does not come from the sun. Rather, it ultimately comes from the God who created the sun. God is the creator of physical light and is the giver of spiritual light by which we can see the truth. The fact is that God is light means that God is in contrast with darkness. God is incompatible with darkness. He has nothing in common with darkness. And so if light is a metaphor for righteousness and goodness, then darkness has to be a metaphor for evil and sin. So it is important to see and understand that we are not told that God is a light, but that he is light. And light is who he is, as God's love, as is God's love, John, 1 John 4 in verse 8, or God is spirit, John chapter 4 in verse 24. God is the father of light, James chapter 1 verse 17. God dwells in unapproachable light, 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse number 16. So yes, we need to recognize the source of light. But God is light, but so also his son. Jesus Christ is light. We remember in John chapter 8 and verse number 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not what? Walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know that word walk. When you look at, when you study it in the Greek, it means to make one's way or make progress. Are we making progress to walk in the light? Therefore, we conclude from this verse that Christians are meant to grow in the light. Holiness, righteousness, and to mature in faith as they follow Jesus. I am mindful of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of what? Not of the night, nor of darkness. Yes, we are to walk in the light. You see, God desires to show us the light. God determines the source of light through his final revelation to man, that is the Bible. Psalms 119 verse 105, Psalms 119 verse 130. God wants to give light, his light, to every single person. He wants to light up our minds with the truth of God's word of who he is and his steps for our lives, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Hebrews 6, in verse number 4. Therefore, we must go to the source of light if we want to have fellowship with the light. Point number 2, the ramifications of fellowshipping with darkness. Number 2, the ramifications of fellowshipping with darkness. If we are children of God, we are to have no fellowship with any darkness. If we are going to have fellowship with God, we must be in agreement with God, sharing all things in common. God and Christians do not have mutual interest with the unfruitful works of darkness. I don't have the time this evening, but for your information, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, in verse number 1. We know that God has no agreement with darkness. He has nothing to do with darkness. And so in summary, God does not agree with unholiness. God does not agree with worldliness. God does not agree with darkness. And neither should we. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. In coming to the consideration of our text of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11, let us ask, what is forbidden? What is forbidden, Paul? Fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's what's forbidden. Now look at chapter 5 verses 3 through 7. Chapter 5, verses 3 through 7. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be a name among you, as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, look up, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, be partakers with them? No, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Brethren, it should be far from us ever to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We should not commend sin. We should not applaud sin. We should not even agree with it. And as we walk in the light, we are told to have no fellowship with these things. And that means that we will not find ourselves encouraging sin. We will not find ourselves excusing sin or practicing sin in our life. We will not agree with sin. We will not endorse sin. We will not participate in sin. Young people, you listen up. Don't participate in sin. In Ephesians, God does not agree with fornication. He does not agree with uncleanness. He does not agree with covetousness. And matter of fact, the Bible says that this should not even be named among us. God does not agree with gossip. Whether it's facts or not facts, gossip's still wrong. God does not agree with filthy language, dirty jokes, sexual jokes, or talking about things that are ungodly. This kind of language isn't God's language. God has one language. You know what that is? It's the holy language. God does not agree with immoral, wicked behavior on Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. God does not agree with drinking alcohol, drinking parties, or social drinking. God does not agree with immodesty, gambling, and dancing. God does not agree with a man sleeping with another man's wife, adultery. God does not agree with pornography, fornication, homosexuality, transgenderism. God does not agree with division, unresolved conflict, strife, or devouring actions. God does not agree with sinful attitudes such as pride, egos, power hungriness. God does not agree with apathy, laziness, lukewarmness, or fake religion. God does not agree with those in error, denomination, false doctrine, and liberalism. There are many ways we can have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But all these sins, all these unfruitful works of darkness, will get you nowhere close to heaven. It won't. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. To walk in the light is to seek to be holy and to hate all the unfruitful works of darkness. What is the ramification of having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? We've already read it. Look at verse number 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things of the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. What's going to happen if I continue to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? I will see God's wrath. We have a choice. We can either have fellowship with God's heaven or fellowship with God's wrath. You make your choice. The charge is this. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing. And I will receive you and be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Therefore, chapter 7, verse 1, having these promises, beloved, that's us, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Doing what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The last point. The reproduction of the fruits of the light. The reproduction of the fruits of the light. Let's read verses 8 through 11. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Christians are to be light bearers. We are the light of the world. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. When we have close fellowship with God, we are to be reproducing the fruits of the light. The Bible said we are to be reproducing goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We're called to walk in the light. We're called to be like God, imitating God. Take Him as your pattern, because He is the God of goodness. He is the God of truth. He is the God of righteousness. Are we looking like Him? These virtues blend together to reflect the overall character of God. Once God's Spirit through the Word of God is at work within us, it produces the wonderful fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. When we reproduce the fruit of light by obeying God's Word, it shows evidence that God is abiding in us. We and Him having pure fellowship in all things we do for Him. However, there is the danger of being unfruitful. Anytime we are unfruitful, it is a sign that we are not in fellowship with God. Are we a child of God while having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? God forbid. Are we a child of God imitating the lost and fallen world? God forbid. Are we a child of God submitting to the influences of the devil and his work? God forbid. What is commanded of us as light bearers? Expose them. Expose them. God does not tolerate sin and the unfruitful works of darkness, and neither should we. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather tolerate them? No. Sit idly and do nothing? No. Keep quiet and hope for the best? No. We're to expose them by God's grace in the manner of love and gentleness. Ephesians 4, verse 15, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. We are to let our light shine, exposing the sin of others. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Why were we sent into the world, dear friends, to reprove sin? For the same reason Jesus was. For the same reason the apostles was. For the same reason the Bible was written. We must expose the sins of the world to convict the sins of others in order to save souls. What did Jesus say to the adulterous woman? Go and sin no more, John 8, verse number 11. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? For you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, John 4, verse 18. Why did Jesus say that? He was shining the light on her sin. What did Peter say to Simon the sorcerer? He said, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent of your wickedness. He's exposing sin. How about Nathan? What did he say to David? Nathan exposed the sin of David. 2 Samuel 12, in verse number 9. I am convinced that we are not effective in spreading the gospel because, number one, we do not walk in the light the way we should, and number two, we do not expose the world of sin enough. Some Christians do not expose and rebuke evil because they do not take it seriously enough. Some may enjoy, laugh, and joke about the things that are filled with wickedness. Some may like entertainment that are immoral and ungodly in the extreme. Some may compromise the truth and justify the sinful action instead of exposing it. Some are lazy and show the lack of concern for others, not reproving at all. We are called as Christians not simply to leave the darkness and relax in the light, but once our eyes have been adjusted, to charge back into the darkness with the light. Brethren, these things ought not to be so. If a brother is in adulterous marriage, we need to have the courage to expose that sin and tell him to repent and come to the cross. If a man is a drunkard, We need to have the courage to say, that's wrong. Please come to Jesus. If someone invites us to go dancing, children, we need to have the courage to say no and tell them why. Brethren, we need to remember who we are. We are light bearers. Let's read verses 12 through 14. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Sin, whether private or public, any sin, all sins, is shameful. The things that sinners do are shameful. Where has shame gone? No one is ashamed anymore, it seems like. Don't believe me? Look at how people dress and talk and act. Turn on the television. Listen to the radio. Look at social media. Sin is everywhere. When sin is everywhere, do you know what that tells me? They don't have fellowship with God because they are lost. What is done secretly in darkness is nevertheless observed by the all-seeing eye of God. Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. When God sees us doing sinful things, our fellowship with God is in trouble. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. God's word exposes every sin. This is the primary reason why many hate the Bible. It exposes their sins. As sunlight dispels darkness, so God's word exposes sin. If we are men of the book, I'm going to repeat that. If we are men of the book, we will shine our light to expose the sins of others. The Bible is not our enemy because it exposes our sins. It's trying to save our soul. James chapter 1, verse 21, I believe. Some people don't like us exposing their sins. Paul went through the very same thing. Remember Galatians 4? Verse 16, have I become your enemy? Because I what? Tell you the truth. However, many are sleeping in sin. And I cry out boldly, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ can give light to a sinner only if the wayward soul wants to receive it. Brethren, God uses us, vessels of light, to give that light to lost souls so they may have fellowship with God. God wants fellowship with men, but it's going to be up to us to send the light. Christians must be burning torches in this world, shining the light of Christ wherever they are by their words and action. Christians cannot act like the world. Christians cannot fellowship with the world, 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Christians are to be burning bright in this world, producing the fruits of the light. God is light. Christ is light. Christians are the light in the Lord. Christians are to be in constant fellowship with the light. Don't ever be separated from the light. In summary, in conclusion, Christians are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God wants to have fellowship with you, with all of us, because he loves us, John 3, verse 16. He desires it badly. He sent his own son to die for us. That's how bad He wants to have fellowship with us. This fellowship with God the Father must be through Jesus the Christ. There is no other way. You have to go through Jesus. Acts 4, verse 12. John 14, verse number 6. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, is the true light. John 1, verse number 9. And as adopted sons of God, we are to reflect His light into a world darkened by sin. Our goal in this life is to focus on the lost and dying world, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, Acts 26, in verse number 18. What is the ramification of having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? You will see God's wrath. He doesn't desire for any to perish, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. So let us walk in the light. Thank you for your time and your attention.